Formby, J.T. Brown, Mia Bell Bratcher, Charlotte Murray, Mildred Pratt, Tim and Fonda Price, Jean Flores, Brian Petra, Wayne Sims, Geraldine Osmus, Howard Woods. And if you have an unspoken request or a request up here that has not been mentioned, would you just call that name? Bible said the Lord hears our voice. Father, we cry out to you tonight for the spirit of healing, the spirit of victory, the spirit of the resurrection. During this season, there ought to be miracles all over this community. I am withstanding the doubts and the fears, the provocative feelings that go along with sickness and weakness, difficulties. We are bringing to this front and center your promises, your provisions, your word, your power, and above all, the angels of God, ministering spirits to those that are heirs of salvation. We clap our hands and hearts tonight as we worship you, knowing that you love to hear and you come and welcome that kind of praise. In the name of Jesus, praise God. Praise God. If there's anybody here that needs prayer for your body, please feel free to come up. We have men and women, powerful people of faith that will join with you. So I'm sorry I didn't mention that sooner. But if you have somebody, if you would just like somebody to get close to you there where you are, there are people in this building that will join with you. If you just lift your hand, they will join with you and pray a special prayer. Praise God. Praise God. What a wonderful, wonderful thing it is to be able to work with the kingdom of God. Can you sing another one? Well, why don't you be seated? And I tell you, we'll let the ushers come right now and receive our offering. And immediately after that offering is received, Brother Malone is coming to share some heartbeats with us for a few minutes. Then we'll have a little word from the Lord again, and then we'll go home and rest on his promises. Father, thank you for this great opportunity to give to kingdom priorities and life. I pray that you bless this people because of their consistent giving of their tithe and offerings. In Jesus' name.
Excited about being over here. Yeah. But Pastor asked me just to share kind of my heart and kind of just what I've been kind of praying about and everything. And the one thing, and y'all go ahead and be seated. The one thing that's really been standing out in my prayer life lately is just focus and what my true passion is. And trying to focus on my true passion, because between work and kids and everything that goes on, sometimes you get kind of focused on other things and you forget really what truly matters and, you know, forget, you know, what your passion should be above all others. And so sometimes I I get turned around, and my wife knows I've got 100 hobbies, and you know, sometimes those kind of take the forefront, and I've been really praying lately, trying to really get my focus back, and just focus on what matters, because you know, the stuff in this world, it amounts to nothing. You know, I can gain everything, I can make as much money as I want to make, and it really doesn't mean anything. You know, and it's hard to kind of take in sometimes. But, you know, I'm just reading through, and some of the stories in the Bible are just sometimes are just kind of hard to believe and kind of hard to fathom. And one of the stories that I was reading, you know, thinking about work and building up something to give to your children is, you know, the rich man, when Jesus told him, sell everything you have and give to the poor. And, you know, I'm like, am I willing to do that? Am I willing to go that far that I would give everything I had and just follow Jesus? If I'm not, then what's the point? If I'm just coming to church twice a week, if I'm not going to focus on reading my Bible, if I'm not going to have a relationship with God, what's the reason? I mean, I'm just kind of spitting in the wind, for lack of better words. But so I've been trying to focus on my passion and trying to make Jesus my number one thing in my life more than I already was. And, you know, everybody's got a passion, and everybody affects somebody, whether you like it or not. You know, you affect people either in a good way or a bad way. And if somebody's passionate about something, about Jesus, for instance, that rubs somebody in the right way most of the time, and you're gonna dress like you should, godly. You're going to act like you should. You're going to talk like you should. And, you know, the old sermon, if you were to go and be, you know, taken to court, is there enough evidence to convict you of being a Christian? And you kind of got to look back and say, all right, is there enough evidence that people could look at me and tell a difference, or am I just another person that they don't know if I'm a Christian or not? And so I've really been trying to focus on that and just focus on a true relationship. And, you know, there was a sermon when I was probably 13, and we did this thing where we put this man over here, and we put his son over here, and we all surrounded him, all the men surrounded him, and we just started talking kind of amongst ourselves and making a bunch of noise. And it was a popular sermon. A lot of people did it. And in the midst of that, the son was blindfolded, and we were talking, making quite a bit of noise, and he would say, come here, follow my voice, come to me. And the whole point of that was he spends so much time with his father. He knows his father's voice, and he can decipher that voice through all the others. And if we don't have that relationship, and we don't, you know, we can't wait till something terrible happens to try to build that relationship. We got to build up to it and hope that we have a strong foundation for when that time comes. And because he could hear his dad's voice from 50 foot away with all this noise, and he would follow, and he walked straight to his father just by knowing his voice, because he's had a relationship with him, and he grew up with him, always talking to him, and it was just a real powerful, really affected me as a young person. And I've heard that sermon preached several times, and I thought, you know, sometimes there's times where I feel like I can't hear the voice of God, and I think, when's the last time I really, really went to my knees and prayed and listened for God? Or have I just gone through a routine and I just prayed and didn't expect anything back? I just thank you, God, for blessing me. And he has blessed me, I mean, abundantly. Me and my wife could go on for hours, our whole marriage, of things that have just happened that had to be God, you know. But I could go on forever, but do I really know his voice? Have I really built a deep relationship with him to where I can decipher his voice from another voice? And if you don't know the word, how do you know if that's his voice? And so I've got to dig deeper into the word, got to know what it says, so I know if I'm hearing the right voice. And so my whole heartbeat is I'm trying to dig deeper and deeper and not ever get comfortable and stagnant in my walk, my following with Jesus. But I don't want to just stay here, because if we keep it in here, it's like Pastor says, I mean, what good is that? What if they would have kept all the Pentecost up in the upper room and never took it out and spread it throughout the world? And I admire missionaries that are willing to give everything, take their kids into dangerous places, and it just blows my mind. I love seeing them come up here, and they show us the last one I remember was Haiti, and how terrible it was and everything. And we've just heard countless testimonies of what they've done and what Matthew Tuttle shared, what he had to grow up in, and they grew up with very little. It was the most exciting time when they got a used car, and they lived in these tiny apartments. And, you know, I've never had that calling to really just drop everything, but always in the back of my head is, are you willing to drop everything? Or, and then are you just closing off that? Are you not going to listen to it? Are you just going to stay right here? Or are you willing to actually branch out and do the will of God? And so, you know, Pastor just asked me to speak for a few minutes, and that's my mission is hear the voice of God, build a deeper relationship with him, and am I willing to go farther, or am I just going to stay right here? And I pray that I am willing to go farther, and I know my family would be, y'all have made an impact on me, whether you know it or not. You know, we try to get people to come to church, and sometimes it's intimidating to them because they say, well, y'all worship different. And I said, well, we're passionate about what we worship. You know, y'all can go to church all you want, and I know tons of my friends that go to these great churches. They don't have a relationship. They don't have anything deeper than Sunday morning, Sunday evening, and they can rehearse just about every verse you want to know. They don't have a relationship with Jesus. And I just, you know, I want something deeper than that. And when we walked in here, of course, we've been here, both of us, you know, off and on, but it's a different atmosphere, and that's what really brought us to here. And even our friends that have come here that we've invited, they said, there's something different about y'all's church. And I said, yeah, there is. That's because we're all in the same mindset. We all want to be here for the same reason. We don't want to keep it right here. Pastor asked us to pray for every other church. I've never seen a church do that. Say, y'all go pray for the United Pentecostal Church. You know, and I love that about this church, and I love y'all, and that's what's kind of given me that passion. But I thank y'all for listening to me tonight.
I thank you. I thank you for all you've done and all that you will do. You're faithful. You're faithful. And I'm grateful. Lord, I thank you.
God. God is raising up so many wonderful things and wonderful people, and it is truly joy unspeakable and full of glory. The glory or victory, however you refer to it, to know that is supreme in our city and our world and our hearts. Could we pray for revival in every home right now? Father, you said, revive thy works in the midst of the years. In wrath, make known mercy. And I am praying for that revival in my heart, in my home, in our city, in the workforce. I thank you today for your covenant with us. Hallelujah. God bless you as you're seated. And again, I cannot thank you enough for your care and concern for what's happening in our world, both in this difficult part, but the primary part is the power of God unto salvation. And you're continuing the entertaining of his spirit and his sword, the word, is phenomenal. I'd like for us to look at John, the 10th chapter and the 7th verse. Then said Jesus unto them, again. So please don't get on to me for not for saying things again. I looked at that when I was studying this lesson for the night, and I thought, man, he did it again. Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers. That scripture has, through the years, just intrigued my mind that he wrote it so severely. All that came before me are thieves and robbers. But the sheep didn't hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not but for to steal, and to kill, and to destroy. That's your adversary. He would do anything he could to do that to your children, to your neighbors. But he said, I'm coming in the middle of all of that, and I am come that they might have life, and they might have it more abundantly. Or in other words, greater than the stealing, greater than the killing, greater than the destructive. They might have life more abundantly. I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. And so tonight we'll see a picture on the overhead. The whole picture and message tonight is about a God and a people that are celebrating his recovery plan. He was so torn. And as we come upon this wonderful time of the year, it's one of my favorite times, reliving the cross and reliving the rapture and reliving all of that is so wonderful. Let me interrupt a little bit right here. My wife and I went down to Home Depot to get some material, and we're standing in the line, the cash register line, and we're checking out, and all of a sudden this guy comes by with a huge box. I'm going to say about 16 or 18 inches wide, and maybe 12 inches wide, and maybe 46 or 8 inches tall. Comes flying by, and I didn't see that the other one had another box himself. They were running out through the plant area where the plants are, and somebody told me later that one of them had laid his down. Well, I thought he was chasing the other thief. I thought he was a worker, so I started running with him, trying to help him, and my wife, I could hear her in the background, "Hey, Bob!" She didn't want me to catch that thief. But if I'd have known both of them were thieves, I think I could have caught that one, last one. But I finally surrendered, and when he got close to the other guy, I knew he had him trapped. Well, then all of a sudden, that car truck took off flying out of there, and I thought, you know what? Evil men shall wax worse and worse. Later, I was down in another part of the store, and boy, they were some kind of humming about it. And it's just amazing that somebody would be that bold with so many people around that could have tripped them, did anything. I, of course, like I said, I was right there, and I just thought the other one was catching the thief. And lo and behold, there was two thieves. I don't know what I'd have done if I'd have caught both of them. I'd been calling for Brother Ronnie or something. But anyhow, it's going to prove really valuable to follow Jesus and to help others get through all of that kind of myriad of stuff. And so it's a giant thrill to be able to equip and empower people to take care of what's really going on. So Jesus said, I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. So, again, this whole picture and message tonight is about a God and a people that are celebrating His recovery plan. And so tonight we are moving quickly toward this Sunday in which we are celebrating now. I couldn't help but just thrill tonight as I saw some of the children and young people getting ready for Sunday and taking advantage of some of the years ago things that have been done. And man, I walked in and my old heart just like and so it's exciting. I can hardly wait till Sunday. Hebrews, the 12th chapter, says, "You are come to the Mount Zion and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels." You can't number the angels, and you'll see a picture of that in a few minutes. How many angels are right now in this room? Will be there on your highway home, will be there in your home, to the general assembly and the church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect. So you're noticing he's really highlighting this angelic visitation. He's really highlighting walking in the Spirit, listening to the Spirit, letting the Spirit lead and guide us into all truths or to empowerment. Verse 24, to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. See that you refuse not him that speaketh, for if they escaped not, who refused him that spake on the earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven. So I'm encouraging us to really bring a friend to our services and to the levels of just the atmosphere that was created here a while ago. I mean, you just can't buy that everywhere. It just don't happen everywhere. We've gotten pretty accustomed to it. But tonight, I'm encouraging us as we renew the attitude of Easter and all of the things that go along with it. What a joy it is. And so I'd like for us to go through a little thing here tonight. Do we have that available? And I try to put it up there for us because they say that your retention is far greater if you can see things instead of just hearing them. And so it grows by about 30 to 40% greater. But I want these angels to affect us. I want us to really get it, that they cover that whole screen. And I want you to know they're everywhere that we go. There's not a place in the world. The Bible said the angels of the Lord encamp round about them that fear him. We cannot afford to disqualify that realization by doubts and fears. We must qualify the truth that says, I know in whom I have believed, and he cannot lie. The angels of the Lord encamp round about them that fear him and delivereth them from them all. Maybe you could turn this on. And I want to sort of rush through this tonight because it means a lot to be able to experience this angelic thing. And as you know, I mentioned it in a couple of services in the last month that the angels of light will never tell you to do something harmful to anybody. They will only give you an encouragement to help people. The angels of darkness will always try to get you to feeling negative about your relationship with God, with other people, and Those are angels of darkness. They are real spirits. And so in this whole thing, your life is real and exciting times are at your pleasure. There is no reason to live in spiritual poverty. The prayer of faith affects the whole person. The prayer of faith puts us in a posture to worship Him. Because when we pray, we know that He heareth us. And if we know that He heareth us, we know that the petitions we are praying about are going to come forth. That's huge. And they're not always going to come forth as we planned. I doubt seriously if most of the miracles that happened in the Bible happened as they thought they might. They happened because He is God, and He is not ashamed to be called our God. So there's no reason to live in spiritual poverty when we have this kind of encompassing crowd of angels, knowing that they are superior light against darkness. Darkness cannot prevail where light is turned on. And so the angels of God are angels of light, ministering spirits. And so the wealth of heaven is within our reach. And there's not a weapon formed against us that can prosper. The only thing that can prosper and negotiate a backward force is a lack of faith. The pictures are replete. The Bible is filled with pictures that show. That doesn't mean you're not stymied for a while. It doesn't mean that you look like you're losing ground. Jesus looked like He was losing ground. They beat Him. They ridiculed Him. We know He could have done something about all that. But He chose to take the beating. But He didn't lose His faith. He didn't lose His confidence. He wanted us to be able to understand that we in Him don't have to lose our confidence, because that children backslide, or people hate us, or people do ridiculous things to us, or good people do something wrong, sort of a thing. No. He said, pray for them that despitefully use you. Use your faith to elevate life, to be able not to be complicit with the problem, but to create a victory. So God has your arrangement prepared for all of life. And you don't have to worry another day unless you choose to. That's always a choice. That doesn't mean that you don't have to fight. But you don't have to worry about losing. You don't have to worry about your prayers not being answered. You don't have to worry about your prayers coming through. Just because it don't happen on the way we would like for it to happen, oftentimes we get fearful that it's not going to happen. Or we get to thinking that God didn't hear our prayer. Don't let those demons mess with your brain. Those are angels of darkness and hell. God will never send a ministering spirit and damn you, make you feel incomplete or lacking. He will call. He will send angels that will call on you. Come on, let's get going. Come on, let's do it. Come on, we can do anything through Christ, which strengtheneth us. Unless you decide you can do life best for you and your family. It's a tough thing sometimes for God to get us where He wants us. But He don't give up. Aren't you glad He didn't give up? He's not going to give up. He's not a giving up God. All He's going to do is shut the door to time. And when He shuts the door on time, that's when We will never hear another voice from heaven, but we will remember all the voices, and that's what's going to make it hell. Tormented in this flame. So we, or you, could not have been chosen for a better time than this. I could not have been called to a life that could thrill me more than to share life with God and the people He calls to each other to share life. Kind of look around and smile at your brother and sister. And those of you that are having to watch online, don't smile at your feet. Smile at your peer picture of your mate. Let's have great revival. A restoration revival. A revival that says, I will not worry any longer. I know in whom I have believed. I am persuaded that He's able. I wouldn't go back to the house of God if I didn't believe He could do it. So I'm not going to sit down and feel like just because it didn't happen when I wanted it, I'm going to share life with God. God has every one of those angels you saw earlier assigned. There are a multiple of angels in here, and they'll be at your car, and they'll be at your house. And when those angels sense the spirit of faith, they are warrior angels. They are healing angels. They are comforting angels. They are angels of every need that you will ever have. There's not a demon that can conquer the angels of God. The demons can only come into a place where unbelief is. They will torment. The celebrations we enjoy now, and to know that we together are going to destroy the gates of hell and show people the way of life. That's why we come together. We get together. People like parties because they get together and they have fun together. And that's what the services are about. We get together, and I look over there, and my brother's worshiping, and that inspires me. And then it flows back, and then there's a little more worship, and then there's somebody that's praying, and then there's somebody that's travailing, and then our spirit reaches out and says, oh, that's my brother travailing. Probably got a burden for somebody. God, I want to join with my brother. There is a fraternity in the Holy Spirit, and it's called the church or the body of Christ. And the devil would do anything he could to splinter and cut off the spiritual floodgates. You have been called. I wish you'd look at somebody and just say, you. I just want them to get it emphasized. You have been called by God. You have been chosen for the last day revival of Joel. Joel said it this way, you shall know that I am the Lord God dwelling. Somebody say dwelling. That's a place in you. I am His dwelling. I am the temple of the Lord God. I didn't just get the Holy Ghost and leave it at the altar. I didn't just get the Holy Ghost so I could brag about it. I had a thing like I caught a fish one day, but the fish we got rid of. But we didn't get rid of the Holy Ghost. We kept the Holy Ghost. We live with the Holy Ghost. We feed that spirit. We praise the name of the Lord. And that spirit rises up inside us to overcome the spirit that would rise up in the flesh, except we crucify the flesh and the lust thereof. And we teach our children all this. And so you shall know that I am God, and there shall be no strangers pass through anymore. And it shall come to pass in that day that the mountains, I wish somebody say the mountains, I want you to know, shall drop down new wine. And the hills shall flow with milk, and all the rivers of Judah shall flow with waters, and a fountain shall come forth of the house of the Lord, and shall water the valley of Shittim, the place of wood that was used to build the ark. When I studied that again recently, and I was looking at that this week, and I thought, man, you know, I've overlooked that realization that this ark thing connects with this Joel thing, and that the valley of the shadow of death, we will fear no evil because we have that anchor of the soul, both steadfast and sure. The reality of God is to be revealed soon. Be glad then, ye children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God, for he hath given you the former rain in a tempered way, moderately, but he will cause to come down for you the rain, the former rain, the latter rain in the first month. And the waters shall be full of wheat, and the fat shall overflow with wine and oil. And I will restore to you the years that the locust hath eaten, the canker worm and the caterpillar and the palmer worm, my great army which I sent among you. And you shall eat in plenty and be satisfied and praise the name of the Lord your God that hath dwelt wondrously with you. And my people shall never be lacking or ashamed. I don't know about you, but I can't hardly read that out loud without getting this realization that I belong in that prophecy. My head, my heart, my brothers and my sisters belong in that prophecy. Long before you and I got here, he had a plan for us to be able to unite ourselves with a revival spirit that will rise to superiority in the worst of times, the most difficult of times. The waters were trying to take the ship under, but God had that Shittim wood ready to go, and he had the plan ready to live, and he's got that same plan for the United Pentecostal Church faithful believers that are in this house, that are couldn't be at this house, and the people that are filled with the Holy Ghost, baptized in Jesus' name, and are leaning on the angels to lead and guide them by the Holy Ghost through the wilderness, through the floods, through the hell that's going on around us. There's a revival in the middle of what's happening. There was a Jesus that was coming in the middle of false religion. And that same Jesus is the one that's promised this revival. If he did that one, he'll do this one. And I don't want us to miss it. So you shall know, and the singers are coming. The singer. Well, maybe those two men behind you can help you. And you shall know that I am. I wish somebody say that little short phrase there that's purple. I am in the midst of Israel. I wish you'd say as we come toward this Easter weekend, I am in the midst of the God of heaven that promised everything. And that I am the Lord your God, and there is none other. And my people shall never be lacking. That word shame means lacking, unclothed, discomfited, faint-hearted. That ashamed is a pathetic position to be in. And so it shall come to pass. Now, again, I want to tell you, if all this is not going to happen, don't worry about hell. There won't be one. Because the same God that said there will be is one same said this will be. I plan to miss only one of them. I don't plan to miss the revival. I plan to be fighting the good fight of faith. I plan to be praying. I plan to let the angels lead and guide me. I plan to let my brothers and sisters help me. I plan. My plans are that we can walk together. And if one can fight the fight of faith, and two shall agree as to touching any one thing in my name with faith believing, it shall be done. Now that's the same God that got out of the grave. So if you don't believe in the resurrection and Jesus got out of the grave, don't worry about this other stuff, because it's not going to happen either. But I believe he's coming back to earth again. I believe the mountains is going to have to... There's a revival in going on. I know I've been sort of filled up today. One of our brethren was going through some hell, and he got a notation that all of his debts were moved into a different source, and now he's free financially. I'm telling you the truth, that God is alive in this house. He's going to be alive in your car. He's going to be alive when you're praying for your children, when you're praying for your family and friends, and when we're praying and travailing. But he said, you've got to do the travailing thing if you want new birth. So also upon the servants and upon the handmaidens, in that day I will pour out my spirit. If you'd just like to slip down close to the front, just let God sense a special faith. And if your body's not capable of doing it, if you're a little nervous about germs and stuff, that's certainly not a bad thing. But if you're capable of doing it, it's just something about it that we have practiced through the years that strengthens us. Father, I thank you today for the unadulterated Word of God. Thank you for the Holy Spirit that cannot be contaminated. I thank you tonight for my brothers and my sisters that are here and those that could not be here. I pray that you will make me a vessel of honor as we motivate our neighbors. And particularly during this Easter season, as we realize the angels that were there are here also. The angels that helped with the resurrection, they're going to be with us this week, weeks to come. Oh, just sing whatever you feel like it if you can, and if you can't, just play, it's okay. Hakanda. If you can pray in the Holy Ghost, I encourage you to. Howbeit in the Spirit, we speak mysteries. There is a revival spirit that's in this house right now. There's a restoration spirit. Don't you be worrying about your children. You keep that prayer rolling. Don't you worry about truth being lost. Just live it. Hallelujah. Oh, there's a revival spirit bursting in this county. I don't want to miss it. Oh, yes. Be a good time to travail for somebody that you're worried about or you've let yourself worry about. When Zion travails, sons and daughters are born. God, we are going to do that. We want our city to feel the impact of that kind of praying. Compelled to a deeper relationship. Travail. Why don't you just let the piano rest a minute? Maybe one of our men, would you just pray out loud above for all of us? Maybe one of you men would just raise your voice right now for a minute or two. What you want God to do among us as the brothers and sisters. Why don't we all just lift our voice in praise for about 1 minute? Thank you, Father.
Thank you.
You brought us this far. There's not any doubt about you taking us further. We're not worried about the predators. We are excited about our faith. We are excited about our God. We are excited about our future. We are excited about your plan. Oh God, we will not let the enemy strip us of the priorities of the kingdom. Oh, Lamb of God, like an ocean, let it flow through this community. Hallelujah. Just one more last time, let's clap our hands to the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God. God bless you. Shake hands. Be friendly. Thank you so much for being here and sharing with God time and sharing with each other time. And it's time well spent.